Penguin Random House Audio presents If Not For You by Debbie Maycumber. Read for you by Christine Vam.
Spring 2017. Dear friends, on a recent Facebook post, I read a New Year's resolution that said, I will lose 10 pounds this year. I only have 15 to go. I laugh because that is generally the way my resolutions go. The point being that we all need second chances, a fresh start, and that is what inspired this New Beginning series. If Not For You is the third book. People often ask where I get my ideas for stories. Most often they come from real life. A couple of years ago, I met a couple with an amazing story of how they met and fell in love. Vic and Mary Jury inspired me to come up with my own version for Sam and Beth. This is a story of healing, both emotional and physical. Finishing a book is a bittersweet moment for me. On one hand, I'm ecstatic to be finished so I can move these characters out of my brain. I can almost feel the new set clamoring to get inside my head, if they aren't already there. And at the same time, it's hard to say goodbye, which might explain why so many of my stories and characters are connected to previous books. The dedication for this book goes to a high school friend, Cherie Carlton Tallheimer, and her husband, Robert. Cherie and I have a high school reunion this year, and it's a biggie, one with a zero in it. We didn't know each other well as teenagers, which I find amusing now because she's become one of my best friends. I finally found someone outside of my immediate family who is as crazy about football as I am. The story of our friendship, rediscovering people we knew from the past, is worthy of a book in its own right. Hey, that's not a bad plot idea. I think I'll write it down so I can remember. One last note. The poem, The Warning Label No One Reads, was written by my granddaughter Bailey after she broke up with her boyfriend. I found it poignant and bittersweet, and with her permission have decided to include it in the book. It looks like I might not be the only writer in the family. And the song Sam wrote for Beth was composed by Pete Evick, who is the lead guitarist for Bret Michaels. If you're familiar with any of my reader letters, you know how much I treasure hearing from you. You can reach me any number of ways. The best place to learn about me is from my website at debbiemaycumber.com, or read my Facebook posts or Twitter, or you can write me at Post Office Box 1458, Port Orchard, Washington, 98366. Now it's time to move forward and meet Sam and Beth and hopefully find a bit of healing in your own life. Warmest regards, Debbie Maycumber.
Prologue. It really was a shame. No, not a shame. A disappointment, Beth Prudhomme mused, as she sat at the intersection waiting for the green light. She glanced out the car window at the man her friend had invited her to meet over dinner. Sam Carney was stopped in the lane next to her, also waiting for the light. Again, she felt a twinge of regret, knowing nothing would ever come of their evening together. It had been silly to put any hope into this blind date. One look at Sam and it was clear they weren't a good match. Beth could just imagine what her parents would say if they were ever to meet Sam. The thought was enough to make her smile. Her mother would have a fit of hysterics. In her mother's eyes, she would view Sam as uncouth, vulgar, and a bane to society. All this because his hair was long and he had a beard. His tattoos would likely send her over the edge. But then her mother had high expectations when it came to the man Beth would one day marry. It didn't take her long to realize Sam felt the same way about her. His eyes had widened briefly before he could disguise his reaction when they were first introduced. He probably saw her as prim and pristine and oh so proper, which she was, thanks to her mother. Beth suspected Sam hadn't been psyched about this dinner date either, and briefly wondered what had led him into agreeing to meet her. She knew she'd been a big disappointment. The truth was, she'd liked Sam. Although they hadn't spoken much, she felt drawn to his unconventional attitude, which was so unlike her own structured life. It had been hard to get a read on him, other than when they were first introduced. Beth couldn't help but wonder what he was thinking. He gave away little of his thoughts, other than the fact that he seemed more than anxious for the evening to be over. Beth didn't blame him. She had to admit Sam was handsome, definitely rough around the edges. But Nicole had warned her about that. His shoulder-length hair was tied into a ponytail at the base of his neck. He had nice dark eyes, she'd say that. The color reminded her of warm cocoa. He was tall. She estimated he must be 6'2", which was a foot taller than her own petite frame. And he must outweigh her by a good 70 or more pounds. Her friend's description of Sam had given her pause, but her aunt Sunshine had persuaded her to give it a shot.
Why not? What's it going to hurt?
True enough, it hadn't hurt. But still, the taste of disappointment settled over her. Sitting in the tall cab of his truck, Sam must have noticed her scrutiny because he turned his head, looking down at her as they waited for the light to change. Goodness, the truck was so high up she'd need a step stool just to climb onto the seat. The traffic signal turned green. Offering Sam a brief smile, she stepped on the accelerator and moved forward into the intersection, preparing to make the turn. That was when she noticed the car coming directly toward her, racing through a red light. In that split second, her eyes caught those of the teenage driver in the other car. She had her cell phone in her hand, her face twisted in a look of surprised horror. From that moment forward, everything seemed to happen in slow motion. The girl's mouth opened in a scream. She braced her hands against the steering wheel and slammed on the brakes. But it was too late. Much too late to avoid a collision. Knowing what was coming, Beth braced herself too, but nothing could have prepared her for the impact of the other vehicle, slamming into the driver's side door. The explosive noise of steel crashing against steel was loud enough to burst Beth's eardrums. Despite her death grip on the steering wheel, her arms were jerked free, tossed above her head like a puppet string as the other car plowed directly into her, spinning Beth and her car around and around. She opened her mouth to scream, but all that escaped was a gasp of sheer terror and pain, horrific pain. And then there was nothing until she heard someone calling her name. When she managed to force her eyes open, all she could see was Sam. Chapter 1. Beth. Give Mozart a chance, Beth pleaded with a teenage boy who stared doggedly down at the classroom floor. Once you listen to his music, you'll feel differently, I promise. The youth continued to avoid eye contact, and then chanced a look in the direction of Bailey Madison. Beth had noticed the teenage girl sneaking glances in his direction through most of the class. Before class, both students had asked for transfers, which disappointed her. Beth didn't want to lose either one.
I like music, but I'm not into that classical stuff, Noah told her.
But you might be if you gave it a chance, Beth said, in what she hoped was an encouraging voice. Noah Folgate sat through the entire class period with his arms folded and his eyes closed, except when he took peeks at Bailey.
Besides, the only reason I signed up for the class was because my ex-girlfriend, did.
You can stay in the class, Bailey said. I'm dropping out.
Beth motioned for Bailey to join them. Noah's gaze narrowed and he crossed his arms and refused to look in the other girl's direction.
Bailey, why did you register for the class? Beth asked.
Clenching her books to her chest, Bailey shrugged.
I'm in band. I like anything to do with music.
Are you and Noah friends?
We used to be.
Would you like to be again? Beth asked. Noah stared at the teenage girl. Bailey nodded and her voice trembled when she said,
more than anything.
Noah blinked as though her words had shocked him. Beth knew better than to get caught in the middle of teenage angst. She really did. But she'd watched these two closely through class and suspected that whatever had happened between them was what prompted them.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?